Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations, episode 236, where we talk all things comics for the week of June 20th, 2019. And as always, I'm joined by co-host Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
That's good. All right, I guess if we have nothing to chit-chat about, let's go straight into our first segment this week. News. Yeah! Best zombie movie ever. That is Party Time, zombie version, from 45 Grave. It's from Return of the Living Dead. I just thought I'd change it up. And since I don't listen to regular music, I have movie music to go from.
1980s horror movie soundtracks.
Yeah. Alright, let's talk our only news story this week, Alex. You picked it out for us. I'll let you introduce it to the folks.
Shuri's writer. There's a Shuri comic, by the way.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't know.
Which is most of you, because nobody bought it. Because it was a character you demanded a comic book for, and then, shocker, you didn't fucking buy it. So nobody's buying it, and she's leaving the book. And she was quick to come out and say, it's not canceled. I told Marvel I would be leaving the book. However, it was pointed out everywhere, no one's buying the book. Why? Because you fucking demanded this, and then you didn't buy it, you cheap motherfuckers. I am so fucking sick of this shit. If you want them to make comics with minority characters, you have to buy the fucking comics, or they will stop making them. And then, when you complain about how, there are no comics with minority characters, I'm be like, okay, why do you fucking buy any of them, you fucking idiot?
And this
I'm so mad about.
And this is some. This is not like your average Misty Knight character that's like, well, who was going to buy that anyway? It's Shuri, the character that everybody was like, oh, I love that character in the movie. And I'm like, yeah, but she has nothing in the comics. But like, but I'll read it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And the worst part is, remember how it complained in that Fantastic Four issue how they suddenly made Shuri smart and we all know why they did it? Turns out they did it for no reason because nobody bought the book. I hope they killed her off again.
Well, the book's still, I mean, it's on. I'm sure they're going to turn it into, oh, it's always a miniseries. A miniseries that we had multiple writers on.
I can't wait. It may never happen because the sales may just get so low that they may just eat the cost, because we've seen Moon Girl. But if they ever cancel the Miles book, we're going to get riots, I bet.
Why is there a Miles book when fucking Bendis is even there? It's his character and nobody else cares.
Because
debatably, nobody cared when it was Miles, because the Ultimate line failed after they fucking did Ultimatum and killed Peter Parker.
Because they made a movie and they somehow think that audience is going to buy a comic book about it.
Yeah, and you know what? That movie was good.
But I guarantee you 90% of the people that saw that didn't buy the book.
No, they didn't fucking buy the comic. Because where was the fucking advertisement in the movie that there is a comic and you can buy it?
But so help me, if they cancel the book, the riots we're going to see.
Yeah, and Marvel and DC have both done this before. They've had people come out and say the book wasn't selling. And people can't really say a lot to that. Like, well, I've never seen someone come back with something to that. They're like, it's not selling. The only thing they come back with is, oh, well, what about this book? It's not selling. But the book they fucking bring up is like Moon Girl.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you telling them they should fucking cancel Moon Girl? They finally canceled Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
It took forever.
And they did the same thing. It's funny. This always happens when a book gets canceled. They either said, I had an ending in mind and the book is just ending, or they said they want to go do other things.
Yeah, you had a fucking ending in mind for your 90-issue Squirrel Girl epic. Come on. And we read a couple issues of that book, and it was good. Like,
I was the one who stopped reading the book And my reason was it came off as an apologetic comic book. Like, it's like, hey, aren't comic books silly, guys? And I'm like, don't antagonize me. I'm your comic book buyer. Don't make fun of me.
I liked it. Her going to college and stuff. I thought it was fun.
It was a comic book for hipsters. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, but I didn't hate it. Like, she wasn't a hipster. She wasn't, like, talking about the fucking new album she bought and how she liked them before they were famous and fucking eating her, putting her avocado on toast. By the way, this is a total non sequitur. Somebody on Facebook, there's this group who posts these articles that are, air quotes, written by millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, shit on things. But I'm almost positive they are written by, like, people my age. You know, the people who are technically millennials, but not really because we're too old. We just happen to fit into the time frame.
Uh-huh.
And I'm reading this, and I'm like, this was written by someone who wants clicks by people bitching about millennials.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell the way it's written because there was one where it's like, these are 25 things that are going to go away because millennials don't use them. And, like, three of them are like, oh, this is too expensive. And then one of them was like, oh, we don't like this. We like this really expensive thing. And I'm like, you're being inconsistent in your own fucking 35-page, you know, because you got to click next page for everything because you got to get those clicks. I'm like, you're being inconsistent in this thing. This was written by someone who was over 35,
mm-hmm.
and you're writing it specifically to piss people off. And, God, it's so fucking stupid. People are easily gotten to.
Was it Vince? These millennials, they don't want to grab that brass ring.
Nothing gets to Vince because he doesn't change his plans. That's why I'm not watching until Deadpool gives Roman Reigns super cancer. Or until we debut.
Remember that was the excuse for not anyone getting over? Well, these millennials, they just don't want to grab the brass ring.
Yeah, that's... I can't wait until fucking Rusev goes to AEW and he's the fucking biggest star in the world.
I don't know if he's going to be leaving anytime soon. He was one of the guys that was cutting promos on people who wanted to leave.
Oh, because he was just somebody on Facebook just put up a link to an interview where him and Lana were bitching about WWE and how no matter what he does, they won't push him.
Well, when I think it was like people like Sasha were complaining, if they want to leave, let them leave.
Well, because that's not really a defense of the company.
Well, the thing is, I'm sure he's still getting paid a lot of money, and I'm sure this is a guy who...
Yeah, and he'll get offered more money.
He's a really good wrestler, but at the same time, if he's just collecting paychecks and WWE, I'm sure he's also happy.
Not according to that interview. He's very unhappy. Because you remember when he fucking, like, he lost weight?
Yeah.
And he was, like, super cut, Rusev?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did that because he thought they'd push it. That's why he did it. It's not like he was out with an injury and he, you know, started taking growth hormone. It wasn't that. It was he fucking worked out to lose weight because he thought they'd push him, and then he came back and they didn't push him.
And then he got over. That's the worst part.
He's got over like three times. He's fucking amazing.
I know. He's one of these people, though, I see him like Dolph Ziggler, where he's going to complain, but when the rubber meets the road... He's going to stay with WWE.
He's a better promo than Dolph Ziggler, though. He's got a higher upside.
Yeah, but at least Ziggler's on TV. When was the last time you heard of Rusev doing anything?
I don't know. I don't really follow anymore. So.
Exactly, my point. But
I assume he's not, because the only thing I've heard about him was his fucking interview.
He should have to go back to NXT.
Is he still on Total Divas? He was amazing on that show.
I don't
show.
Even know if that show is still on the air.
Oh, God.
That's the one where I can admit I'm sort of out of the loop. I don't know.
I liked parts of that. I liked the parts with Rusev. That show is really weird because I like the parts with the women's husbands.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a man.
Because I like them.
Well, you're a man, so.
I just thought they were fun. Like, it's cool to see them run around in, you know, bikinis and shit, but usually the guys are really funny. Fucking Rusev and his Speedo.
I wonder if that show is still on the air, how they're going to write off Dean Ambrose.
They'll just take Renee off the show. She's not allowed to be on anymore. They put a blue dot over his face.
There we go, to hide his rat face.
Because he's a rat. He told secrets.
He only buried me. He didn't bury the company.
He didn't bury Hunter or anyone. He just buried me. I made him rich. Hey, he fucking put him over for giving him money.
True. I don't think anyone's really complaining in WWE they're not making money. Nobody really complains about money when they...
Especially not now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I feel like we went on a bit of a tangent enough. Let's go on to our next segment. This week's books. That is Nightfall from Metal Gear 2, Solid Snake, on the MSX computer.
Oh, the fake Metal Gear 2.
You mean the real Metal Gear?
The fake one, because it's not Snake's Revenge. Dun 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 dun
dun. Lieutenant Solid Snake is a master of martial arts.
And he wears a fucking orange jumpsuit to sneak around because he's a boss in the jungle. Who the fuck sneaks into a jungle with a neon orange jumpsuit?
Solid Snake.
Snake does that.
Lieutenant Solid Snake, I'm sorry.
And he can't walk into bushes.
No. You know who the boss of that game is, right?
It's Big Boss in a metal suit.
Yes. No, it's Cybernetic Big Boss.
Yeah. I beat it when I was a kid. I fucking loved that game.
I like that they kept
the original.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say the original Metal Gear I couldn't figure out, but Metal Gear 2, once I figured out to get into the base you had to call the dude, it was all easy after that, and I'm like, fuck, I figured this out. I'm gonna beat this fucker. And I did.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, winner is you.
It was. The winner was me. I never beat that game.
Because you know that
it didn't really have an ending.
Did you see who wound up being Starman?
Huh?
Did you see who wound up being Starman?
No.
Virgil.
Really?
Remember they were doing some wacky show, Mania Weekend? And it was like Mad Libs Pro Wrestling. And so-and-so.
Starman, it was Virgil?
Yeah, Virgil was under the mask. And he asked everybody for $5.
Did they have somebody as the Amazon?
I think it was just Starman.
King Kong Korn.
One of the matchups is the Invisible Pro Wrestling. Where Mark Rensburg had to wear the special glasses so he could see the participants.
Were there other participants?
No, they were invisible. He was pretending like they were. And they did a really cute spot with the table where they had the table gimmicked where if they pulled on the string, it would break. So it looked like the guys threw each other through a table.
That's kind of funny.
And then the best part was everybody was looking up at the balcony. No, no, don't jump. Oh, my God.
Did I tell you at the AEW, the Battle Royal, that Cornette shit all over?
Mm-hmm.
The only things I liked were when Ty Dillinger came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm at that point in the match, I'm like, this is the only motherfucker who looks like a wrestler in this match.
How dare.
And then,
I won't have you speak Luchasaurus.
Yeah, that guy, Jesus Christ.
What about Hangman Page?
Orange Cassidy, I liked him.
Yeah. And he didn't.
That's a good gimmick. I read that he did not do a lot of his gimmick in that match.
That's all he did, and then immediately Tommy Dreamer threw him out.
Well, yeah, because what the fuck else? Like, apparently he does, like, the slow motion shit, which everyone does that now, so that's not really cool. But I did like the really light kicks and the not taking his hands out of his pockets. I thought that was funny.
I don't get it, but it's funny.
It is funny. He comes out with fucking sunglasses on and, like, a beater.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's funny, but I don't get it.
His gimmick is he doesn't give a shit.
Oh, I bet Cornette loves that.
He's not booked. Cornette didn't bitch about him.
Did you see that? Did you see that meme of Sammy Callahan blowing a mouthful of water in Cornette's face when he was doing color commentary?
Where?
In MLW. I sent you the gift, but I don't know if you saw it.
Did he get fired from MLW?
Yeah, and he got fired in part for that.
Where's he going to go work now? He's like burned bridges with everyone.
Has he burned bridges with the AEW guys?
Well, no, I guess not them, but...
There you go.
You know, the thing with Sami Callihan is he's been everywhere and he doesn't get over.
He got over in PWG.
I think he, well, yeah, but that doesn't, he hasn't got over anywhere else.
True.
Like, he didn't get over with, like, three gimmicks in NXT. And he said he was really mature about that. He said he thought he came in at the wrong time.
He sort of did.
Like, he's like, if I would have come in when all the other indie guys were coming in, I would have been over.
Well, same thing with Hero when he first came in the company, or Ohno. That he was all.
Well, yeah, but then he came back when all the other people came in. And he still didn't get over.
Well, the thing was, he was pretty thin, but he wasn't cut, and they kept ripping on him for his weight. And then he left and got gigantic, and then they re-signed him.
No, that's not the only thing that I've tried to explain this to you because he was at NXT before anybody cared. He also never had any good matches, and he never cut a good promo. And then he came back and he never had a good match. Had the only bad match Velveteen Dream has ever had. Just saying, everybody, oh, Velveteen Dream's not that good. He couldn't have a good match with Chris Hero. No, he had a good match with everybody else, though, you fucker.
All right, let's go over this week's books, which include Uncanny X-Men 20, Daredevil 7, Age of X-Men Next Gen 5, Middle West X, Excellence 2. Let's see if I can pronounce this right. Yuji. How do you pronounce this? Yugi.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Usagi Yojimbo number one. Superman Year One. And to open up this week's books from DC Comics, we have Batman 73, where Tom King art by Mikael Janin.
Tom King sure did waste a lot of time in this book.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, so what Tom King did in this book is Bruce Wayne's dad, which I'm still not sure where he's from, but I assume another from, dimension.
The Flashpoint continuity.
Right, because that's around now. Okay. So Bruce Wayne's dad is taking him, as it turns out, he's taking him to the Prime Lazarus Pit to bring Bruce's mom back to life, which will cure Bruce.
Is that how the Lazarus Pit works? You can put
it
someone
does bring people back to life. Yeah, because Jason Todd.
Oh, that's right. He was dead for a long time.
Yeah, he was dead for a long time.
Hey, here's a question I have about that. Didn't he, Jason Todd, die as a kid?
Yeah.
So then how come when the Lazarus Pit brought him back, he was an adult?
I don't know. I didn't read the story. I assume he got brought back, like, maybe a while ago, and then he just grew up. I don't know.
Okay. I won't question it.
Seriously, you think I don't fucking follow that. I don't know. But whatever. So, yeah, so he's bringing him there, but what King decided to do is have Thomas Wayne sing Home on the Range for
like 90% of this book.
Yeah. Well, some of it was while he fought and then other times he's talked. So of the 22 pages of this, about 10 were him singing that song.
Which, I mean, this book is biweekly, so maybe that's why.
I mean, the reveal that first of all, I feel like the Bane thing has been pushed off to the side. And it's like Bane just fucking broke his back again and completely ruined his life. And now he's going on an adventure with his dad.
Well, because that's what Thomas Wayne wanted. He doesn't want his son to be Batman anymore. And if he has to do it the hard way, so help him. And he's going to fix Bruce the only way he knows how. He's back and he's going to bring his mom back too.
All right. Yeah, that's fine, but he wasted a lot of time in this issue, and honestly, this issue is the kind of thing that is the reason people don't like his run. I revealed to Tony I was reading a post about...
It's not everyone.
Everyone hates him, man. We're the only ones who like him. On this book.
I will say it may be more than 50-50 that people don't like him,
yeah, but it's not everybody. At this point, reading this, I understand why people don't like him.
Well, and then I always blame all the parts where his run got cut.
Yeah, but it's not. Because this entire storyline that people have hated has been all him. The thing I always defend King for is, like, in Heroes in Crisis, I'm the only one who liked it. Although I guess when Wally was alive at the end, people softened on it.
Oh, but I forgot to bring it up. We should have talked about it in news, but somehow it got lost in the confusion.
They're doing a Wally comic.
Yeah, they're doing a Wally solo book.
But he's going to outer space.
So he can murder people in space.
Well, no, he's presumably better. He's over that.
Well, he'll just feel bad again when he does it.
Maybe. I don't know. Why did
King have to ruin him? Why did King have to ruin him? Why couldn't it have been Barry? Nobody would have missed Barry.
No, my big defense of King on that storyline is he really is the only one who dealt with what Wally went through. And given that, it was sort of a logical story. Like, what he went through would fuck you up terribly.
I don't know. Superman handled it pretty well.
But Superman's better than everyone else, dude.
Well, he had a wife and kid, but everybody else went away.
Well, yeah, but he didn't know them.
What do you mean he didn't know them?
He was a baby when Krypton blew up.
No. Post-crisis Superman.
What do you mean? What?
Okay. Remember what started Rebirth when post-crisis Superman showed up?
Yeah.
So you see, everyone that he knew isn't around either.
No, they're all around. They just don't remember.
Well, same thing with Wall.
And he's going to save the day anyway by punching Doc Manhattan.
I know.
So it's all right.
Yeah, but with the exception of he has his family, other than that.
This issue of Batman sucked.
Yeah. I really want to see Thomas Wayne get his.
I think he's a dick for what he did to Batman.
If it wasn't for the fact that Batman didn't kill, I kind of want him to kill his dad.
I'm pretty sure of all people, he's not going to kill his dad, even though it's not really his dad.
And his dad is technically dead in his continuity, so he would be killing a dead man.
So he's bringing back the corpse of the actual Martha Wayne.
Because I was thinking to myself, wasn't that also Joker?
Huh?
In that Flashpoint continuity, wasn't Martha Joker?
I don't remember. I didn't read all the... I read Flashpoint, but I didn't read all the offshoots.
I believe Martha was the Joker in that continuity.
I think I read Flashpoint, and I read The Flash.
But he could be bringing back this universe is Martha, which would be weird because he is.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. That's weird. But whatever. So, yeah, hopefully he fucking moves the story before he goes on to his own book that they're giving him. And then hopefully he'll do a 12-issue mini on some underutilized character and it'll be amazing.
Hopefully it's Catman.
Well, he's never getting an event again.
Yeah. They should just, from now on, they should make Hickman do all the events because they're all good.
Hickman has done one event.
No, I did two. Infinity and Secret Wars.
And I didn't like Secret Wars that much.
You really?
Infinity one I thought was much better.
I thought you said the opposite recently.
No. The one that, the one where Thor summoned his hammer from far away and it went through the dude's
chest. That was awesome.
That was the one I liked, and that was not Secret Wars, which I thought was too long and nothing came out of it, which wasn't his fault, but
I still think it was better than 90% of the events they put on since.
They haven't done that many events since.
They've done Secret Empire. They've done...
What was that?
That was the one where Cap was Hydra.
That wasn't an event.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yes. Because you weren't reading. Because we took a break from the show.
Was it a company-wide event?
Yes.
Well, I didn't read it, so I can't.
That was the one where they're saying, after this event, we're going to take some time off.
Yeah, so they haven't done that much.
They've done the two, and it wasn't good. And everything between Infinity and Secret Wars wasn't good either.
Just because the other ones were bad doesn't mean his was good.
Age of Ultron was terrible. Original Sin.
Age of Ultron was terrible. Original Sin
was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Axis was okay.
I never liked Axis. Axis was when I turned against, who wrote it?
That was Jason Aaron.
Was it?
Oh, no. That was Rick Remender. Never mind. You never liked Rick Remender.
Yeah, that was when I turned against Remender because everyone just kept saying, well, X Factor was really good. And I'm like, yeah, he wrote one fucking good comic. And I hadn't read it yet. So I just kept getting really mad. And I'm like, me and Dave would fight about it. He's like, well, he's bringing back stuff from X Factor. And I'm like, honestly, how many fucking people read that? Because I don't know what's going on.
Well, obviously a lot of people because they kept bringing it up when he'd write something bad. And then the funny thing is, he left he left Marvel and got good when he wrote for Image.
Yeah, but okay, that's not a defense of a bad book. Like, okay, example. When I read Naomi, actually, you know what? That's not the worst thing Bendis writes. When I read Bendis's X-Men, I never would again, but when I was reading it, I didn't read it and it was bad. And I go, well, yeah, but his Daredevil was good. Because that's a non sequitur. It has no connection.
Actually, his Avengers was way worse.
Well, or when I read his Avengers and I'm like, this is really bad. I wasn't like, oh, but his Daredevil's good. Because it doesn't make any sense. Like, who cares if his fucking Daredevil's good? This is shit. This is still shit.
His Ultimate Spider-Man was good.
That was so long. That was literally 2 decades ago.
Alias?
And it stopped being good. Only the first part of Alias was good.
Mm.
Much like the TV show, from what I understand.
Sweet Christmas. No, people said only the first season was good. Second season, from what I heard, people don't like the third season.
That's what I said.
Oh, I think you said the first half of the first season.
My wife was a big fan of the first season. She watched the second season. She's like, yeah, it's not very good. She's like, there's too much about Patsy. And I'm like, yeah, she's not even Hellcat.
Like,
yeah, she's a bad character. She's like, they bought Jessica's mom in, and she's annoying, too.
Sweet Christmas.
I haven't watched it yet.
Did they
I know Luke Cage's show is fucking painfully boring.
Did they do any of the butt stuff from the book?
No.
Aww.
That wasn't necessarily butt stuff, by the way. I read that comic when it came out. Did I tell you the story about that comic? They got in trouble because one of their printers was in Alabama and they didn't want to print it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it showed interracial sex. This is in like 2005? It's
well,
like, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. It's bad.
Dusty Rhodes was talking about banging black chicks in the 70s. Why was it okay for him?
Because A, it was Dusty and he acted like a black man.
So it's okay if you act like a black guy.
Also, he's Dusty. He could have made out with Hitler, and he would have got over.
It's like, oh, it's Dusty though.
I know. It's
like American Dream, baby.
It's like he's goose stepping, and he's got the Hitler getup on, but it's Dusty.
He could have pulled a Hogan, and they still would have liked him. Because he would have danced.
And that song, man, that song is so over.
He just a common man. Well, no, in the 70s, he didn't have that song.
Mm.
I don't know what song he had. He probably didn't have a song. I don't know. He probably came out to some whatever was popular at the time.
He said, he's like, I was so mad at him. And then he said, if you will. And I'm like, oh, I can't stay mad at you.
Oh, Dusty.
Oh, racist Dusty. Hey, remember he was, what's his name? What's his name? KKK, Dick Murdoch. He was Dick Murdoch's tag team partner.
But everybody said Dick Murdoch.
He was a card-carrying KKK member.
Yeah, but then you find, like, black wrestlers who's like, I didn't think he was a racist.
Hey,
and it's like, he was literally a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Remember, my defense for Hogan has always been, I haven't heard anyone complain about Hogan being racist.
But again, Hogan did say he was a racist.
Yeah, but
it's okay. He's been welcome.
He also said Andre keeps getting heavier and heavier. Now he's like probably 1,000 pounds.
Andre's like 8,000 pounds and he's 12 feet tall.
So for him to say he's a racist, like, I'm not too sure about that.
I remember watching something on the network once where JBL interviewed Stan Hansen about his career.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan Hansen was talking about in the 70s in Japan, he wrestled Andre the Giant. And he's like, and Andre let me slam him. And JBL gets really quiet because in WWE lore, Hogan is the only man to ever slam Andre the Giant.
Slamming.
It was really awkward, and it was a shoot. Wait, we're supposed to be talking about comics, not old wrestling.
Hey, we only have eight books.
Let's get through another one.
Well, since we're talking about short books, let's talk the complete opposite. Superman Year One, number one of three. Writer Frank Miller, art by John Romita Jr. I like this for the most part.
What was the point of this book?
To do Superman Year One.
Right, but what was in this book that was new? Aside from Frank Miller decided to add in Lana Lang almost getting gang raped.
Yeah,
I thought that was a nice touch.
And I didn't know Superman went to the Navy. That must be new too.
Yeah, and Superman uncharacteristically deciding to join the fucking Navy. Aside from that, this is a pretty stock story.
Yeah, and also I don't know, I thought it was just well written. Some of the creative directions you could question, but for the most part, this is a well written book. And when you consider it was written by Frank Miller, you're grading on a curve.
If you go that way, I thought for a Frank Miller in 2019, it was better than I expected. But I also thought it was overwritten. And Romita, I got to say, he could not fucking draw teenagers to save his life. Because he pointed out they're in high school and they look like fucking elementary school kids. So when the attempted gang rape
Have you seen high schoolers recently?
They don't look like that. They don't look like 8-year-olds. They don't. And I'm older now, but I know. They don't look like fucking 8-year-olds. A high school student looks different. Now, Romita has never seen a high school student, judging from the way he drew them in this book. Aside from that, I thought his art was fine. But I was a little creeped out that they looked so fucking young. And it just kind of creeped me out. But this is a very stock Superman origin story that is totally unneeded. I thought he overwrote it a little too much. Miller felt like he had to write. He didn't shit all over Superman, which I was kind of shocked by.
Well, I don't think DC, even though Frank Miller is a big draw apparently in 2019 still for some reason, but I don't think DC would have let him do that.
I think we all know how successful this book is by how much outrage there is over it.
There's not very much.
Because I don't think this sold very well.
I don't know, man. People make lots of excuses for Frank Miller.
Adding in an attempted gang rape of a female and making her a damsel in distress, that ain't going to get over in 2019 with the Twitter crowd.
The Twitter crowd doesn't read comic books. We've established this. So how can they get upset?
They get upset about everything.
Yeah, but the thing is, someone has to tell them.
Well, somebody might tell them.
I don't think they're going to care.
I'm trying to find a review on CBR.
You telling me about Shuri getting canceled is the first I've heard of it, so I don't know how much they pay attention to comics.
Here's a Newsarama review. Scrolling. Ah, there we go. Retrograde misogyny. There you go.
You know they were bad guys, right?
Yeah, but you can't put women in danger and have them have to be saved by men anymore. You can't do that.
But he saved everybody. The whole town was afraid of the
Except
kids.
In this, I just thought it was icky. Like,
well, to be fair,
she had pictures of these boys doing bad. Actually, you know what this read like, but it didn't go same way. It kind of read like I'm reading this, and I recently reread Ender's Game to see if it was appropriate for Jack. And I kept thinking the way it was written, I'm like, Superman's going to decide he needs to fucking murder these kids. Like, this is how this is written. He's going to fucking kill these kids.
Cool.
And then he did. But I got scared for a minute.
No, I didn't think he was going to kill them, but I thought he was just going to... He's going to...
This book didn't offend me, and, like, I'll finish reading it just to see what he does with fucking Superman in the Navy, which I don't like.
Well, I'm just letting you know right now, if we get a heavy week, I'm telling you, this is the first book on the chopping block.
When was the last time we had a heavy week?
That's true, but just in case we get one, we get them every now and then.
All right.
All right. I'll let you pronounce the next book from IDW again.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Number one, writer and, I presume, artist Stan Sakai.
Yeah. So,
this is such a nothing book.
You'd never read Usagi Yojimbo, so I wanted you to read it. This is a book that when Dave was on the show, I wish it would have come out. Because it does things like it'll use Japanese terms and then explain what they are. It's always done this. It's been a comic for like 50 years, and we just never covered it. Mm. But I thought the guy who writes it and draws it is like, I've met him twice, and he's the nicest human being on earth.
Cool.
And they're cute little samurai. I mean, I feel bad calling them cute because they're also very violent.
It's cute. This is, if I was 12, I thought this would have been cool.
That, like, it's cute violence. Like, the book opens up and there's...
No, but I mean, it's also a very simple story written for children.
Oh, it always is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just about, there's gonna be evil puppets.
Yeah.
Killing people. That's what it was about, but it was mostly just, you know, Usagi arguing about the merits of puppet storytelling.
The art's not that good.
Which I actually thought was kind of awkward, where...
The art's not that good. The story's not that good.
Oh, I think the art's perfect for what it is.
Mm.
But no, they are very simple stories. It's you've never read Lone Wolf and Cub.
No,
which
I haven't.
Is much harder edged, but these samurai stories tend to be really simple. They're not complex things. They're never going to be. They don't make you think. It's mainly just... In this book in particular, it's about seeing rabbits and cat people and dog people fighting with swords.
That's what this book was?
And then learning about Japanese culture in the Edo period.
You'd have been like,
Oh, Dave would have loved it.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's move on to the image portion of the show with Excellence Number 2, writer Brandon Thomas, art by Carrie Randolph.
This moved too quickly.
See, I thought the opposite.
See, I thought this moved way too quickly because he told a self-contained story in this. It did continue from the last issue, but I thought it moved too fast. He didn't develop any one thing in it long enough because he had to move the plot forward. But he also did this really odd jumping back and forth in time. And I thought he used it in a weird way so the book opens and it's, the main character fighting against, this thing called the Overseer, which is, I'm not sure. It's one of the things used to, like, they can take the warlock's powers away if they misuse them. And it's him fighting one, and then they cut back to show how it all started. But then within the cut back, they start cutting back further to, like, when he was a kid, and it's like when he first saw this place. But when they're doing that, they then go back to the future to show you more, so the cutback really had no reason to be there, which I thought was weird, and I don't understand why he did it. But other than that, I mean, it moved well, but I just thought, if you're gonna establish a villain, it's weird to open with them already fighting the villain and then cut back and show why he would be fighting the villain, but when he's actually fighting the villain is 4 years in the future. We have no idea why he's fighting it. Or even that it's the villain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could assume it's a villain because it's wearing all white and it's got kind of a pointy hood and it's telling the black guy what to do.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, everyone's
kind of... I don't even know if they were going for that.
I don't think... I think you're looking way too much into it.
They haven't dealt a lot with the race card. And I did think the villain was fairly effective because it... So what happened was his grandma was sick and was going to die. And he got in a fight with his dad over, well, I want to go to the magic capital place and get the healing spell that'll make her better. He's like, no, we can't do that. He's like, well, fuck you, Dad. You're a dick. And he goes anyway and he tries to sneak in. And the cutest part of this was he casts a mirror spell to make a mirror version of himself to sit in this little teleporter thing. And the thing's telling him, like, you know, this shit ain't gonna work, right?
Yeah, I know.
And he tells, it's himself. And he's like, shut up. I got a plan. And he's like, yeah, I bet you do, fucker. So.
It's funny you keep contextualizing this as him finding the bad guy, where it's, he's clearly going off the deep end. Everyone's telling him to not do this, and he's doing it anyway.
But the way the person behaved was, so what happens is the person in white beats him. And then puts him in like a prison and takes his magic away. And he's like, no, I have to have the magic back. I have to have it back. And he basically, you know, throws out what one of her big plot points is. If I don't, he says, I have to have it back or my dad won't love me, which is sad, but it's also true from what we've seen. But he explains to him, he's like, yeah, so just so you know, he's like, I'm going to give you your magic back and I'm going to let you go. But if you do this again, instead of having 10 original families of magic, we're going to have 9 because I'm going to take your powers away and I'm going to take your dad away and I'm going to murder your entire family. And it's like, okay, so that's definitely the villain.
But then he turns on him anyway.
Well, it just fucking threatened to kill his family.
Then he just leaves it alone.
He waited a few years.
His grandma's old. She lived a long life. Just let her die. It happens.
He doesn't want to let her die.
I'm under the impression that he's really, I wouldn't say the bad guy, but he, the story of him is him being pigheaded and doing stuff he's not supposed to.
I think, yes. And a part of that is in the first issue they showed, that he had all these problems growing up, and this character is actually in here. His dad liking another kid more than him because he came to magic earlier, and his dad never cared about him until he could do magic. And then as soon as he got the magic, the first thing he wanted to do is that his dad told him he couldn't do. And he doesn't understand why, because
it's a coming of age story.
Yes, and he's got this tear between like wanting his dad to love him, but then also wanting to tell his dad to fuck off. It's pretty common, I think.
Well, I don't think it's that common, dude.
Read this character all the time, so it's got to come from somewhere.
Well, what I'm saying is he does not have a healthy relationship with his father, but still his father.
Right. Yeah. So. But they're dealing with that, but they're also dealing with the world they're in. And the world they're in is slightly fucked up. So, but we haven't gotten that much into it. Like, this was another piece of it, but it was really specific to him. So, I don't know where it goes from here. Like, it can't really continue from the story of him fighting this thing, because we never got...
Well, I think it's going to wind up being the monkey's paw. He gets what he wants, but the consequences are dire.
Well, he finds out that everyone is right.
Yeah, and that he was stupid.
But then that says that because they have control over them, but they're the ones with all the power. So I think if you get to that point, it's kind of a dead end of the story.
I don't know if this book's going to be around for that much longer.
It sold well. It's on a third printing already, and everybody puts it over, so I think the book's doing fine, but
I liked the first issue, not so much this one.
I liked this one, because I thought it continued with what they were doing.
I think it made our protagonist really unlikable.
I don't think you should always like the perfect.
Well, the thing is, they also gave him an inner monologue where he thought, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. That was really going too far.
And I don't, it's not that I understand the character. It's not that I like him or I don't like him, but I understand where he's coming from. So, I'm okay with that. Next.
Speaking of unhealthy relations with their fathers, Middle West, number 8, writer Scotty Young, art by George Corona. I really want to see the dad get his.
Well, he kind of did.
Not really.
Everybody at the fair got on the magic woman who runs the fair because she kicked Abel away. And she's like, oh, but he's dangerous. Didn't bring up that it was her fucking fault
exactly.
That he turned into a storm monster. You know, nobody brought that up, but they all got on her for that, I guess building up to him coming back, and they're all still putting the fair back together. Meanwhile, the dad goes into a bar because the fair was supposed to be in that town, and he's like, yeah, I'm looking for my kid, and I think he's with this fair. Did the fair come? And they were like, no, it's usually here by this time, but something happened, and they didn't come, and they skipped a couple other towns. And then this old man who's hanging out in the bar just lectures them on how to be a father. Basically what the guy tells him is, you can't force a kid to be like you. And then basically says, yeah, if your kid ran away because you beat the shit out of him, then beating the shit out of him when he comes back isn't gonna work out well.
Yeah, basically he's like, oh, so what did you, cause the guy's telling him, he's like, oh yeah, my kid ran away. You know, the whole stick and handkerchief gimmick like a hobo. And he's like, oh, so what did you do when you brought him back? He's like, what do you mean, what did I do to him?
Yeah, because he's going to beat the shit out of Abel if he gets him back. But, again, that's why Abel ran away. I talked to Lauren about this as I was reading it, and I go, so if you're an abusive father, and your kid runs away because you're beating the shit out of him, and your response when you get the kid back is to beat the shit out of him, are you mentally disabled or are you just really stupid? Because from my vantage point, you know why he ran away. And then your response to that is doing the thing that made him run away to keep him from running away. That means you're stupid or you're slightly retarded. Because you don't understand simple causes.
He doesn't see the correlation between the two.
Yeah, exactly. Because he thinks like, oh, I'm beating the shit out of the kid because I love him.
Well, he's thinking, oh, I need to discipline my son. And he made me mad, yeah, so I'm not thinking straight.
Which has worked well in the past.
Yeah, I know.
But, so the guy tells him this and he kind of like starts roughing up the old man. And then two big guys in the bar come in. And they're like, we don't like your kind around here. And they just, I mean, he kind of fights back, but they stomp the shit out of the dad. But, of course, it's Abel's dad, so he turns into a fucking storm monster.
You know why they didn't like him, right?
Because he wasn't from around these parts.
No.
Because
he was making kids cry, bruh.
He was. They didn't like these. No, they actually didn't like that he tried to beat the shit out of the old man.
Well, they did point out, he's like, I would say pick on someone on your own side, but you seem to like pick on old people and little kids.
That was a fucking great line, dude. That pissed him off, and he threw a punch. But yeah, they ended up, you know, punching him, and then they're fucking stomping him when he's on the ground, which I thought was, I'm like, okay, that's a little rough, but, you know, then he got the storm eyes.
He tried to beat up a defenseless old man.
Yeah, no, I'm not defending it. It's just when you, as someone who has been in a few fights in my life, in real life, you tend to not stomp someone when they're prone on the
ground. Yeah, but if they really deserve it. Like if you find out some guy was smacking around his girl.
Yeah, but you could fucking kill somebody really easily like that, dude. That's why they don't allow it in UFC. You can fucking kill somebody doing that shit.
Yeah, they let you do it in Pride. Nobody died in Pride. They also weren't wearing boots, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, they're wearing actual shoes and, well, whatever. Either way, though, he went stormy and he did that. So Abel and the fox are coming upon a forest, and Abel's got a map, and he's like, yeah, so the town's through this forest. And he's like, yeah, so this is called the Endless Forest. So you can't, you know, fucking go through it, retard. And he's like, whoa, smell you later then. Just keeps walking. Fox is like, fuck this kid. And he follows him. And a bunch of
Before that, they bring up the reason why he's where he's going. He's looking to find his mom. And the fox tells him, you know your mom's really not that much better than your dad, right? She left you alone.
Well, he didn't say that. He just said your mom left.
Yes.
He's like, you do remember that your mom chose to leave, right? And he's like, well, it doesn't matter. My mom never hit me, so whatever. He probably thinks the mom left because of the dad. Even though every indication we've had is that the dad wasn't a giant dick until the mom left because she used to calm him down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's going to look for her. So they go into this forest and are immediately set upon by thousands of squirrel monsters. And they're running, and he's about to go Super Saiyan, but arrows start hitting the squirrel monsters, and then they look back, and there's a tribe of forest people who save them. And then the issue ended.
I hope this book ends with the father dying. And I hope it's Abel.
Well, it's a continuing series,
I hope Abel kills the father.
I kind of hope they get the mom back and everything works out all right, and they're a happy family.
No, the dad has it coming. And the mom's not that much better. I hope he ends up back at the fair. Those people were nice
to him.
If
the mom was getting the shit kicked out of her by the dad,
why wouldn't she take the kid with him?
Maybe in that world,
No. No. And remember,
can't say that because the woman runs the fair.
And remember, this woman ain't the smartest, too. She picked...
I don't know, she was scared because she knew if she took the kid, the fucking dad would follow.
But I'm saying she also picked the father.
They said he wasn't... Well, that's the thing. He couldn't have beat the shit out of her because they said she used to keep him calm. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll find out.
Either way, I don't want Abel back with his parents. I think they're both pretty terrible human beings.
Well, we'll find out.
And I actively want the father to die.
Okay.
That's because he's making kids cry, brah.
He is the villain, so.
Whoop, whoop. Not that next. Villain. All right, so we're on to Marvel with Age of X-Men Next Gen 5 of 5, writer Ed Bryson, art by, let's see, I got two names here, Marcus Tu and Chris Pacallo.
This is a depressing comic.
Yeah, considering the way the last two issues ended, this issue ended with a downer.
Yeah, it's just, they've all been fucking downers.
Yeah, but at least the other ones gave you hope that, you know, X-Man was going to get his.
Yeah, but in this one, so what happened was Anole did in fact blow up the fucking library. No one was killed, but a bunch of people were hurt. So our kids with Glob and Armor and them run in and they escape with him. And they're like, you know, journeying through the country trying to get away. But there's not a lot of crime in the Age of X-Men, so they're all over the news everywhere. Department X finds them. They escape again. And then they basically just send the X-Men after them. And they get caught. And when they get caught, they get sent to prison, where all the thought criminals go. And what happened was, Glob is sitting there and Armor comes up to him and she introduces herself to him because they mind wiped her and she can't remember him.
That was really sad.
And none of the other kids remember him and none of them remember each other because they've wiped all their minds except Glob, who they can't do it to, so he's the only one who remembers. So he goes to his fucking prison cell, and he starts writing the history of the world. The real history of the world. And then the fucking book ends.
I was going to say, it's history of the world? Depressing. I love that movie.
And then there are two kids, though, two mutant kids who took over feeding the chickens. Because they remembered that someone said it makes you feel better.
Aww.
Which would be Glob, who they don't remember. Because apparently they erased Glob from everyone else's memory, too.
That's sad.
Yeah, it was fucking sad. I didn't like that. Poor Glob. I was hoping Glob was going to save the day.
Well, he was trying to.
He couldn't find the life seed. He remembered it was there, but it wasn't there.
Bruh.
Poor guy.
Yep. Glob is great, though. I hope when Marvel makes their X-Men movie, they find a way to incorporate Glob.
Yeah.
Daredevil number 7, writer Chip Zdarsky, art by Lalit Kumar Sharman. Sharma.
What's this?
This is Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, this is good again. The Sad. Chicago cop who was hugely against Daredevil is now wearing a Daredevil mask. And beating people up, which I thought was an interesting way to go with that character. He's not as good as Daredevil.
No.
Daredevil is still suffering from Catholic guilt. And although there was a good moment where his fucking nun mom pointed out, just flat out said, "You're not special."
Yeah, because he's all lamenting. He's like, "Oh, I don't deserve God's forgiveness." And she was like,
"Such a Catholic."
He's like, "Do you have any idea all the people God's forgiven? They've done horrible things. They've slaughtered, you know, Christians just for the hell of it. And you think you're special?" But then again, I go back to Catholic.
Well, he's a Catholic, and the Catholics, their sins are always worse than everybody else's.
Yeah, they're not gonna crack open and read the Bible. That'd be stupid. That'd be stupid.
You don't learn anything from that. Priest has to tell you what's
they're like, well, this can't be right, because this is the opposite of everything they're doing.
And she gave him the story of Paul. It wasn't just random people. She's like, he murdered Christians. But, you know, then he came to Christ, and then he was an apostle, so it was all good.
But then he found a way to turn around and make it about him. He's like, oh, well, Paul was blinded, and I feel like God blinded me because he didn't want me to see, or blah, blah, blah. Can Daredevil die, too?
And then
can Abel from Middle West also kill Daredevil?
He's leaning strongly into this Catholic thing. By the way, the issue ended with Daredevil sitting on the phone, listening to the city to hear crimes being committed, and then calling the police repetitively and telling them where crimes were being committed.
He was calling the city.
He still has to try to save people, but he can't do it himself because he gave up. And Kingpin quit being the Kingpin.
Kingpin went legit, yo.
Sort of. He still told the criminals. He got all the big criminals together, and he said, okay, keep things running smoothly, keep the violence to a minimum, keep paying me.
That was the best part. It's like, but I'm out the game, but keep my cut coming in, or I'm gonna bust some heads.
He's like, just make sure peace between all you guys goes, and Wesley tells him, like, you know, we might have a problem with the Owl, and he's like, yeah, we'll keep an eye on him, but... You know, that's it. And Wesley tried to tell him, like, maybe we should wait a little bit on this. And Kingpin's like, no, I want it down now. Like, I want to be out of this.
Are they going to do the not-so-subtle storyline where Kingpin runs for the presidency?
I don't think so.
Someone brought up, he's like, yeah, media for the next... All media, comic book, video game, TV, movie relay, it's going to be pretty unbearable for the next couple of years.
Why?
With their not so subtle, the president's corrupt, blah, blah, blah. They're all going to be telling their Trump stories.
Because Luther was already president. They can't. Marvel can't do that.
They'll find a way.
I don't think they will.
All right. Now, our final book this week. Uncanny X-Men 20, writer also Matthew Rosenberg, art by Salvador Lacaro.
Did they kill another?
They killed Dark Beast. And by that, I mean magic.
They killed Dark Beast. Well, because what Dark Beast did, this was terrible.
Oh, the worst is I read this book and then I go to CBR just because I'm looking for new stuff. And I see, oh, the X-Men have executed one of their most notorious villains. I'm like, you liars. It's Dark Beast.
The Dark Beast was never one of their most notorious villains.
I know.
Actually, kind of a lot happened in this issue, really. But one of the big things was, I think probably the biggest thing actually was the X-Men. They're talking to Dark Beast. He's like, "Hey, I found a cure for the mutant cure basically. And he explains to him how it works. And, you know, they're fighting or whatever, stuff's going on. And Captain America comes talk to him. He's like, Scott, what the fuck's going on? He's like, oh, what do you mean, Cap? He's like, this new thing you've done, it's terrible. Cause they release the cure into the atmosphere or whatever. They did that. Cause that's what we do now ever since the Terrigen Mist storyline. You release shit into the atmosphere and it works wonders.
Except when it doesn't.
He's like, well, no, the bad thing was, given kids, they have a choice and they just took away their ability to be mutants. And he's like, oh, so you killed them? And he's like, what? And that's when we find two things out. Number one, this is actually Cap, and Cap never did come to them and tell them, oh, just arrest the really dangerous mutants and give them to us, because that was
Mystique. Yeah, and pretty much Cap saw, the last time I talked to you was that demonstration. I haven't seen you since.
I never came to make a deal with you.
You think at this point they'd be used to it or find a way to be like, hey, let's, because they already have machines that can detect Skrulls. You think the mutants would find a way to be like, hey, is this person Mystique or not?
Well, they don't have all their shit they normally have. Like, they don't have Cerebro and stuff, and they don't have Professor X, and, you know. But they, so they then find out, so, the mutant cure, actually, if it's given to a kid who's gonna be a mutant, it turns him into, like, a puddle of goo.
Yes.
Which is bad. So, because it's murdering children.
Well, it only killed about 3 children, because the way they described it was...
5.
Oh, 5. So if they've already been injected with the serum, it does... with the anti-mutant thing, it does kill them. But if they're exposed to this before they're injected, it just cancels out the anti-mutant thing.
Right, so... But if any kid is in the process of getting it, he'll be dead. So, they go to confront Beast, who reveals, oh yeah, you guys only agreed to do this and let me do this because you were being mind controlled, and you guys should really, have some better protection against mind control, you know, what with the mutants all. And then Magic just fucking murders him. Just straight kills him. And, I don't remember if it was Scott or who, just goes, the fuck are you doing? You're fucking killing people. And she's like, he murdered children.
He made his Barbara.
Yeah, well, I thought that was the best defense ever. It's like, well, he did murder children. And he tricked us into letting him do it.
The worst part about all this, I felt, was they bring in Dr. Nemesis. He's like, oh, I can fix it. He's like, well, then why didn't they do that from the get-go? Why did they trust the Dark Beast without getting some kind of confirmation?
Because they were being mind, they had their minds fucked with by Emma. Yeah. So they weren't in their right minds, which, you know. And Wolverine wasn't there at the time because he has somewhat protection against mind control.
Then again, I remember somebody else smart with them also said, yeah, the Dark Beast stuff checks out.
Well, yeah, but it didn't matter because they had the mind shit going on. So it all would have been,
for not.
You know, they fucked with their heads, yeah, so it didn't count. Yeah, so the story, I mean, I don't know how much longer it can go on, because Age of X-Men is about done, and that means Hickman's taking over, so he doesn't have a lot of time to finish this story.
Well, we know it comes out in July.
Emma did get taken by the evil government, and...
You mean the
sent
government?
A letter to Scott, like, hey, you can have your memories back. Come save me.
You said evil government. Is that a... Isn't that a...
Yes, it is, because the government by its nature is evil, but...
It's redundant.
I mean, in the Marvel Universe, there's always, like, a group. Like, this one is called One, or O-N-E, which I don't know what it stands for, but they're evil. They're the evil government.
Except I will say this, the mutants are pretty consistent. The government tends to always be evil.
He looks like the leader of the evil government, kind of looks like the Rick and Morty episode where the giant heads come.
Ooh, nice. Show me what you got.
Yeah, President Keith David wants to help them get Swifty, but the evil guy wants to shoot nukes at the giant heads. Which he does, and it does not work.
No.
I watched that episode the other night. I'm rewatching Rick and Morty.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Despite it being a cartoon, which Alex really hates.
I do. Well, you know what I hate about Rick and Morty? It's fans.
You can always ignore the fans.
They're terrible. I know, I do.
Like your wife?
I was following a page and I stopped.
Isn't your wife one of the fans that you don't like?
She doesn't talk about the show at all.
I thought she used to. She's like, oh, this show's a lot more deep than it seems.
Yeah, she did that, but it was more the ones that really annoy me are the ones that are like, you have to be intelligent to like this show, and it's like, really? They're telling fucking poop jokes, like,
Mr. Poopy Butthole.
We watched that episode.
There's not a lot
when they shoot Mr. Poopy Butthole because they have no bad memories of him.
No, they didn't shoot. What's her name shot? And she's a terrible human being.
Oh, Summer.
No, it wasn't Summer. It was the mom, wasn't it?
Was it? Yeah, I thought it was Summer, because everybody hates Summer.
No, everyone does hate Summer, but I believe it was the mom. I forget the mom's name, though.
Beth.
It was Beth.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah, I know.
Horse surgeon.
Well, you know, people make bad decisions.
I'm not to the point where Jerry is, like, the most pathetic yet. He's on his way, because that character develops. At first, he's kind of normal, and then he becomes kind of worthless, and then he's, like, the most worthless.
Well, they recognize that he's worthless, so they just go full board. It's like, let's just write him off, sort of.
They don't write him off. They fucking have him separate, and then he goes and lives in a shitty apartment by himself. Good. It's great, and he never gets another job.
Good.
But then they're, at the end of the last season, they got married again. I think they, like, did a reality thing, because, like, they were just back together. Like, they reset everything.
Mm.
The fucking episode with the parasites who, like, look like different things and implant memories in them, that one was great.
Now it's the same episode we were just talking about.
I know, but that was a great one.
If you say in a different way, it makes it seem like it's a different episode.
Well, because I was talking about a different part.
I know, now I'm just giving you a hard time.
It's okay. Do we have any more books?
No, that's it. Let's go on to next week's books. Funk is on a roll. Funk
is on a roll. Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? Funk, it's about to get funky up in here. Don't say it.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was actually great.
I remember it was first the Cats theme when they brought him to WWE.
You remember they'd been advertising Brodus Clay coming back for like months, and they had all these videos where he's going to be like really scary, and he's going to be a big monster. And then when he finally debuts, they just started playing that music, and he comes out dancing.
It's great.
That was a great story.
And now he has his own show on Fox Business.
He has his own show?
Yeah.
Jesus.
In fact, he got in some trouble. I think, what was it, last week? A little bit of sexual harassment from the co-host.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. Well, they worked it over.
He doesn't have a show anymore.
No, they water over bridge. They got over it.
He stopped sexually harassing.
Well, basically, I think they said, if you there's no show, you're not going to have nothing either.
Oh, so they strong-armed her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good on Fox News.
Well, you know, women. Fox News is going to Fox News. Greg Gutfeld has a show, though. And I absolve them of all their sins because they gave him a show.
I heard his show sucks and Red Eye is garbage now.
No, his show's great. Red Eye has been terrible without him.
It's basically just
Red Eye.
I just liked him because, you know, libertarian guy.
Yeah, and he's funny.
I don't watch it because I'm not going to watch fucking Fox News, but
he's funny.
I'm aware of it. He was funny. He All was right. funny. I'm looking at comics.
It may be another thin week.
We're reading Batman Last Night on Earth.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you read the premise?
No.
It's Batman wakes up in Arkham. He's young. He's not crazy. And he was never Batman.
Didn't we not read the first issue?
They resolicited it, and I wanted to read it, and you wouldn't read it, so it's a short week.
Well, that was the same week where we had three gigantic books, and I'm like, look, dude, I'm not reading all of these giant books.
Yep.
And one of them was that Dog Days of Summer, and I think we have a light week next week. So.
Yep. So yeah. I want to read it.
Okay.
Okay. Books of Magic number 9. There's a quick book for you.
Yep. Somebody Call My Mama.
Flash 73.
Okay.
That's it from DC.
I don't think there's anything from Image either. I'm sure I'm forgetting something I always do.
I'm looking very closely.
Spawn 298.
No, we'll wait for issue 300.
No, and we're still not going to read it.
It's pickups, but well.
No, don't. Don't get...
Conan the Barbarian, number 7.
Oh, you're supposed to forget it.
I could never forget about Conan.
You almost forgot to talk about Conan.
Fantastic Four, number 11.
Is it Fantastic Thor?
Fantastic Four.
Oh, Fantastic
number Four. Number 11.
I'm like, is that a new spinoff Thor book?
That'd be quick. Miss Marvel, number 4. Magnificent.
Yeah,
Ms.
I
Marvel.
Get it right, homie.
Sorry. Is Marvel Rising like a porn comic?
It's a show. It's a TV show, but I think it's also a comic book. It's the all girl team. But when I say girl team, I don't mean like A-Force, where it's all the, you know, the serious women who need to be taken seriously. It's Squirrel Girl, Miss Marvel. Couple other goofballs.
Okay.
America Chavez, who I've heard is a lesbian.
I believe, is she a lesbian or is she bisexual?
Either way, we're supposed to constantly bring it up. She's like Kitty Pryde. If we're not talking about it. Oh, God. Look at the cover of issue 4. It's the goofballs and they're wearing like, they got scarves over their mouths. And I think America Chavez has a mop. They all have mops. And they're fighting this giant trash monster. That's where the book is at. That's what you're missing out on, Marvel.
That's kind of funny.
We can read it if you want.
It's issue 4 of 5. I'm not going to read 4 of 5.
But any book that has Miss Marvel and Squirrel Girl, you know, is not to be taken 100% seriously.
There's 8 million Spider-Man comics coming out. I don't really want to read any of them, so go ahead and skip that. Thanos, 3 of 4.
Where Thanos kills more people.
Where we learn about him and Gamora. Thor, number 14.
Just when I thought we were going to have a light week.
War of the Realms, 6 of 6.
Marvel said,
I wonder which one we're supposed to read first.
Huh? I'm doing the fat guy from Jurassic Park. And they're trying to hack into his computer, and they don't know the password.
I honestly don't remember much about Jurassic Park. I remember Jeff Goldblum being fantastic in it, and watching Jurassic World and watching the whole movie waiting for Jeff Goldblum, and then waiting through the credits to see if Jeff Goldblum was there, and he wasn't.
Aww.
And then one of my friends told me, dude, you know, in the new Jurassic Park, fucking Jeff Goldblum's in it, and I'm like,
is he shirtless?
And he apparently is, and I haven't watched it yet, but I'm fucking going to.
You saw one of the things he did to help promote the film?
No.
So, obviously, when he's doing the press junket, everyone's interviewing him. I guess, I forgot what website it was, but one of them was like, hey, can you read the script We're going to do a scene because I think the internet will like it. And it was the scene from The Simpsons, the steam hams. They got him to be Smithers. Good? It was good, yeah. It's the best one yet.
Oh, nice. I'll have to look that up.
I was like, oh, man. I'm sure he's completely oblivious to this.
I don't know. Jeff Goldblum's pretty...
He's hip.
Yeah, he's hip to the internet because he knows he's meme worthy.
He's over with the internet. He's gonna get isn't he gonna get a show on Netflix or is that the Disney app?
The Disney app, and it's called like Jeff Goldblum Explains Everything. They get a topic and they send Jeff Goldblum out to learn about it.
Oh God, did you hear he's gonna have the jazz album? I don't know if it's not already out.
He might be too cool for that. Though, like, it worked with like Shatner because like Shatner was like geeky, but Jeff Goldblum is super cool.
He may make it cool.
Well, jazz. I mean, technically, it can be cool. It just tends to not be cool when celebrities do it.
No, but he tends to make other things cool. All right, that's gonna do it for this week's show. So, from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show, and as always. Check you guys out next week. Adios.